The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Past away, it's 7 minutes past 12. Man in Line's in session till 1 on 66 13 68. Text or email as well. There were 77 new cases of COVID detected yesterday on the Isle of Man. We now have 533 active cases. 8 people in Nobles. Nobody's in ICU. 276 people waiting for the result of a test today, and 81 people booked in for a test. From the vaccination dashboard, 65,503 first doses have been administered, 64,020 second doses. That means, according to the dashboard, 98% of people have been double jabbed. 123 people booked in over the next 7 days, and 18,978 shots of vaccine currently in the fridges, the Department of Health and Social Care. Well, you heard that story in the news about Ballacameen. We heard last week some schools around the Isle of Man are facing an increase of staff and student absences due to the spread of COVID and other respiratory illnesses. Now, Ballacameen High School in Douglas says situations making it increasingly difficult to actually place a teacher in each classroom, simply due to a lack of staff. Year 10 students are going to be asked to stay at home on Monday and Tuesday. Year 9s, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. They're going to get sorted out with work to do at home, but it's a bit like last year, isn't it? Dr. Allenson was in Manx Radio today, and he says they're now no longer recommending people in schools wear face covering, but expecting them to.
We are now expecting people to wear masks or face coverings when they're in school. If they don't have them, they will be supplied when people go through those doors. We need everyone to work together to try to get a lid on the situation so that we can keep schools open, because we know the effects of closing down schools and closing down education and the knock-on effects it has, both in terms of education and well-being and the wider community. We are absolutely determined not to go down that way again, but we need everyone's help to achieve that.
Crikey, what are we going to do? How are we going to move on from here? Did you hear what he said? Put a lid on it. Put a lid on it. That's what I just wonder if you have a child, a student in year 10 or year 9 at Ballacameen, you'll probably have been told about the situation next week. I just wonder what they're saying is they're doing 9 and 10 because younger than that, they may need an element of childcare, and older than that, they're getting into exam syllabuses and what have you. So that's the reason. Year 10 students stay at home on Monday and Tuesday, and those in year 9 between Wednesday and Friday. That was Dr. Allenson, of course, Department of Health and, Department of Education, Sport and Culture. Actually, until now, because they've just announced who's the new Council of Ministers. Alfred Cannon has unveiled the Isle of Man's new Council of Ministers. Let me give it to you now. These are the Council of Ministers, made up of the Chief Minister, 8 ministers, all of whom are members of the House of Keys, of course. Let me tell you. Minister for the Cabinet Office, Kate Lord Brennan. The Minister for Enterprise, Dr. Alex Allenson. The Minister for Education, Sport and Culture, and Flumes, Julie Edge. Minister for Environment, Food and Agriculture is Claire Barber. The Minister for Health and Social Care is Laurie Hooper. The Minister for Infrastructure and the Prom, Tim Crookall. Minister for Justice and Home Affairs, Jane Paul Wilson. You probably worked it out. Minister for the Treasury, Treasury Minister David Ashford. That's the new Council of Ministers. David Ashford, Treasury. Jane Paul Wilson, Justice and Home Affairs. Tim Crookall, DOI, Minister for Infrastructure. Laurie Hooper, Health and Social Care. Claire Barber, Environment, Food and Agriculture, Julie Edge, Education, Sport, Culture and Flumes, Dr. Allinson, Minister for Enterprise, Kate Lord-Brennan, Minister for the Cabinet Office. And Jane Paul Wilson will deputise for the Chief Minister should he become unavailable. Daphne Kane's going to chair the Climate Change Transformation Board. Chris Thomas will chair a new Housing and Community Board. You will spot in there, no policy and reform. Well, that's it. That's the... and, of course, we'll get Mr. Cannon onto Max Radio as soon as possible. Hopefully he'll be with us on perhaps Monday morning on The Breakfast Show. But that is it. If you want more details, go to Max Radio's news pages at maxradio.com. Your new Chief Minister and your new Council of Ministers. How about that? Have a think about that. Just think what it's going to mean now. Of course, David Ashford, formerly Health and Social Care, now Treasury. Wow. The only other minister in there, of course, Dr. Allinson, is now Minister for Enterprise, no longer Education, Sport and Culture. Wow. What a lineup that's going to be. I just wonder what your thoughts are, any initial thoughts as to how you think they're going to perform and what you think their new priorities should be. Certainly, that's interesting that there's going to be a Housing and Community Board. Chris Thomas, MHK, often talked. Do you remember when we chatted to him on the air and also when we were at the Douglas Central outside broadcast from the Yacht Club in Douglas? He was talking about the importance of housing. And obviously, there's a housing bubble. There's a housing bubble in most places. But the fact that the housing ladder just seems to be slipping away from some young people is something that needs to be addressed. Interesting times, eh? So text us on 166177. Email studio@maxradio.com. Actually, talking of public sector housing, they're tightening criteria for public sector housing. And it's excluded lots of struggling families on the Isle of Man. Ramsey, MHK, Laurie Hooper. Of course, Laurie Hooper, we'll have to refer to him now as the Minister for Health and Social Care. Says that's the reason that waiting lists appear stable as the Isle of Man faces what's been described as a housing crisis. So Laurie Hooper calls it a housing crisis as they've tightened the criteria for public sector housing. So that's the problem, Laurie Hooper. So what's the solution?
You get people who are, for whatever reason, just outside the criteria, being told, sorry, actually, you don't quite qualify, you're on your own. Because aside from the public sector housing scheme that exists, there isn't any other housing support provided by the government on the island. There's that, and then there's the first-time buyer scheme, which again has similar problems in terms of restrictive criteria, and actually it's not being fit for purpose. And part of the issue is you then have a government saying, well, the waiting lists look stable, and there's no one interested in first-time buyer housing, because the stats they're seeing would support that argument. But what they don't seem to appreciate is the reason the waiting lists are relatively stable, the reason that no one is applying for first-time buyers housing on that scheme is because the schemes don't work for people. The stats themselves are they're accurate in that there are X number of people on the list, but what they're not capturing are the X number of people who can't get on the list but are still in real absolute need for some kind of housing support, because there isn't anywhere for those people to go. And the problem then you've got is when you had a government, as we had over the last 5 years, just refusing to acknowledge this was a problem, it's very hard then to make them change their mind.
Well, that's the politics of it all. Of course, it affects human lives. It affects people, possibly, that you know. It affects their lives on a day-to-day basis. The largest owner of social housing on the Isle of Man is Douglas Borough Council. And the chair of the housing team is Janet Tominey, who last week was the one to describe their waiting lists as stable. Her fellow councillor, Devon Watson's, previously shared his concerns that rising house prices are forcing young people away from the island, off the rock, they go. So what does he think we should do about it?
It needs a lot more investment, primarily from the DOI and the central government, in sort of allowing us to take loans and directly investing in social housing. If we want a solution to the housing crisis, the largest owner of affordable housing is Douglas Borough Council, and it's the single best mechanism we have to get someone out of poverty. What we have seen last year is one of the reasons why the waiting list did remain stable, is because entrance requirements, at least from a DOI perspective, were made more stringent. But on a Douglas Borough Council method, I think a lot of people are locked into arrangements in which they have. So I imagine that there's a lot of people who would like to move from a substandard private rental into one of our properties, but moving has a lot of costs. So short term, some of the effects of poverty mean that it's very difficult for people to move from a substandard situation into a slightly better situation. So poverty has an effect that sort of keeps people, sucks them in. So increasing the availability of housing on our end and eliminating our list would probably induce more people into social housing and increasing the rate at which we build social housing.
Devon Watson talking about the situation with public sector housing. I just wonder what your thoughts are on this matter. Are you concerned about property prices? I mean, property prices go up. That's it. It's just one of those things in life. Over a 10-year period, they will say you'll never lose money if you invest in bricks and mortar. But are you concerned? And should the government do more to ensure that people can access social housing? Devon Watson says DOI. Putting money in. DOI, of course, now is Tim Crookall, who's got the prom on his plate. In fact, lots of people are sending me messages and saying, come on, Tim, you can do it. It's like Tim Henman. Tim Crookall in charge of the promenade. And thank you, Terry. You also said, who's the Minister for Festoon Lights? Don't start that. In respect to the public sector housing waiting list, it's true the previous allocation policies had a degree of discretion, says the DOI. Their contention, it was limited to a waiver of the 10-year residency requirement, or for very particular reasons, such as evidence of statutory overcrowding, or for health and welfare reasons. So, in preparing the revised allocation policy, said the DOI, consultation with local authorities and other stakeholders, including the public, led to proposals for a fairer and more transparent process in lieu of the discretion, and that additional points should be awarded for those applicants in most urgent need of housing. So it's a combination of introducing shared housing waiting list, policy which focuses more on need has resulted in housing waiting lists, say the government, reducing significantly. What's your view of this? As with adjustments, the first-time buyer schemes, the department, DOI, is already considering adjustments to the public sector allocation policies, as well as bringing forward a mid-rental housing option. Both will require Tim Wald approval. Well, it's not going to go away, is it? David's with us. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Just to clarify a couple of things, and it's an interesting selection as far as I'm concerned. I got it wrong. Totally wrong. My selection was totally different than what's been said. But the biggest thing that's come out there was you said it was Housing Board. Now, I don't know what the finer detail on that is for Mr. Thomas, but whether it's because in my time there used to be statutory boards. So what's the implication? Is he a puppet on a string?
It's an interesting choice of words, isn't it? Board.
Yeah, well, a board is a plank, actually, but never mind. I'm not going down that particular road. But there is a fine definition in law, and what you have to remind people all the time, government's to do with law. What does the law say? Never mind what people say, or the ministers or the members, is what the law says. And if it's a statutory board, there are some powers. If it's just an ordinary board, somebody's, well, I would say pulling the strings, and it'll be interesting to see. My other flavour on that is Mr. Thomas, some 3 years ago, did a consultation on when people own property, well, you own your own house, and you want to go into care, the government just send you a little letter and say to you, sell your property. He never concluded that, and that he never come out with what was going to happen, like in other places like Scotland. Even in Ireland, it's different, where you do get some help and support, because the biggest asset you've got, or anybody's got who's a family, or you're living on your own single, as that, is your property. And I know it's worth a few bob now, but you don't just sell it the next day, do you? And where do you go after that? Sheltered accommodation was changed, where sheltered accommodation, because you own your own property and you've got value, you can't go on it. Things are wrong, but I'd love to see what he's going to do. And the best thing we've got, Andy, you're there and the public are behind you.
Well, I just wanted to take you back what you said, and that is the word law, you know, and that's what our lawmakers are for. They're there to make laws. You know, obviously statutes, everything comes into this. That's what they're there for. So obviously the letter of the law has to be observed. It has to be upheld.
Yeah. So sometimes it's bent and we find out later on. Bent as such, but curved.
Yeah, you can never hide that, because that will always, in the Isle of Man, it'll always come out.
Well, there's always 101 experts, isn't there? And I'll give the politicians on that. But as long as, and I'm sure Mr. Cameron will do it, bring his council ministers along. The other biggest issue, Andy, is going to be in the next week or so is, who are they going to put in as members? Are they, all these members are going to stand up and be part of the Isle of Man government?
Well, that will be the most interesting thing, you know, with the fact that there's no uplift for that. And it does involve work. It involves a lot of reading, paying attention, meetings and everything else, and getting hassle from interested parties.
Yep.
So it'll be because not everybody can be a backbencher.
No, but I think the backbenches is going to be quite full. And then you'll know that regarding the number of questions. To fill the backbenches day up, they'll just write questions. And then it's like a type of filibustering. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. All right. Thanks, David. Have a good weekend.
Bye.
All right. Look at that time. 22 minutes past 12. A brand new Council of Ministers, which I'll run through in a moment. But I just want to also underline this 2 days of elective surgery cancelled at Nobles Hospital. Right, emergency stuff is going ahead, obstetrics and what have you, but Manx Care apologised to patients who were due to have an operation this week for cancelling surgery at the last minute. All elective surgery was called off yesterday and today. 12 operations will be rescheduled, so 12 operations. Now, the chief exec of Manx Care's, Teresa Cope.
So we ordered new tables for all of our theatres earlier on in the year, and they arrived with us in September. And since that point, we've been negotiating with the UK organisation that provided those to us to come across and do the installation and the training of all of our staff on the new equipment. Unfortunately, it was only at the start of the week where they were able to confirm that they were able to come on island on Thursday and Friday of this week. And obviously all of the equipment needs to be replaced and the staff trained at the same time. So unfortunately it meant we've had to take down some planned activity in order to support the installation of the new equipment and also the training of the staff. All of those patients will be rescheduled over next week and the week after.
There she is, the boss of Manx Care, talking about the Teresa Cope, talking about the rescheduling of those 12 operations. Obviously, if you're at the on the end of that thing, it's no comfort whatsoever. But I mean, it's new equipment, it's brand new equipment, it's going to be better in the long run. But if you had psyched yourself up or possibly gone into isolation for an operation, it's cold comfort, but it's nice to hear. Julie Edge has spent a long time in education, so that fits. Why has Dr. Allison been pushed past health and social care? It doesn't make sense, says Paul. He's gone into enterprise as well. A message in just to say, is it true that the man responsible for buying the very expensive diesel engine that's not fit for purpose for the railway is now in charge of the DOI? You never know, Steve, do you? Where is the cabbage these days? Oh, this weekend, if you're around the Strand Shopping Centre, there's a big weekend. It's called Restart a Heart. It's World Restart a Heart Day. Tomorrow, the 16th, and demonstrations of how to administer CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation, take place in Douglas Town Centre. Tomorrow, the Manx Care's resuscitation team will be providing demonstrations of CPR throughout the day. Will they be playing the Bee Gees, Staying Alive? Did you ever see that commercial with Vinnie Jones? So it's World Restart a Heart Day at the Strand Shopping Centre, offering you the chance to have a go at the life-saving procedure and answering questions as well. So demonstrations are on from 10 tomorrow morning till 4, the Strand Shopping Centre in Douglas. That's what all the fuss will be about when you're around there. Maybe you could have a go, you never know. 26 minutes after 12, Man in Line. A beautiful Friday afternoon in the Isle of Man.
We appreciate that running a business can be a challenge and presents risks. At NFU Mutual, 100 years of insurance experience has taught us a lot. We pride ourselves on our local service and having real conversations with you to understand your unique needs and find the right cover for you. NFU Mutual work hard to ensure that claims are handled efficiently with minimum hassle to get you back to normal as soon as possible. For business insurance, call NFU Mutual on 674 191.
Like the sound of a flexible pay-as-you-go plan with no ties? Sure you do. Our simple-to-use pay-as-you-go plans are contract-free and put you in control. So you only pay for what you want when you need it. And you even get unlimited data when you top up using our app. Freedom has never felt so good. Visit Shore.com today and...
Enjoy five action-packed days at the Manx Heritage Winter Transport Festival between the 27th and 31st of October. It's full steam ahead for nostalgia with workshop and shed tours, photography specials, social events, bus tours and more, including the Hop Tune A Spooky Lunch Train for a family-friendly event. The Winter Transport Festival is for everyone. Find out more today. Visit rail.im or call 662525.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
It's another Caroline North weekend with some great music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s. We have a special guest DJ in Grant Benson revisiting the Ross Revenge, and this weekend is sponsored by Marsh Industries. Join us on Caroline North
on 1368 and 648 AM, Radio Caroline North.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
28 minutes past 12. I just wonder, have you had your booster yet, your COVID booster? It's on at the moment, isn't it? The Pfizer or the Moderna are the boosters that are available. I think, Howard, did you get your booster in the end?
No. I didn't. I chose not to have it. And I'm sticking with that. And I don't even have the flu jab.
You haven't had the flu jab?
Never have.
Oh, wow. What do you take?
Nothing, just life.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, I've never had it. We were offered it at work, but some of the other lads had it, but I didn't.
Because some people swear by the flu jab, don't they?
Yeah, my wife's had it. But I'm 78 now and, never died a winter yet.
No, well, a healthy immune system, Howard.
I hope so. Okay. I just got an A1 from the doctor yesterday anyway.
Oh, congratulations. What's on your mind today, Howard?
What is it you want? What it is I've just heard an advert on your radio there for the other company, Chua, pay-as-you-go phones. And it's just a reminder, basically, that for anybody who has a pay-as-you-go phone, particularly if you're using likes of WhatsApp now, my wife has just lost £7 overnight on her credit.
How come?
Because your credit, if you don't use it, only lasts for 90 days.
Oh, right.
It used to be 6 months, because I spoke to the commission, communications, and the girl said, yes, it used to be, but they reduced that to 90 days. Some in the UK are less. It's not particular to the Isle of Man. But just be ultra careful if you do have a pay-as-you-go phone, and you're using WhatsApp or online data, etc., just to use it maybe once a month, because my wife got a text last night, apparently, at 10:05, and when she got up this morning, that £7 odd was gone. And apparently that's the way Manx Telecom, and I'm almost certain she will be the same.
Yes, I remember Manx Telecom changed their rules a while ago.
Yeah. And it's a bit naughty, but more or less, I say, just be careful. And the advice I can give is just use it, because WhatsApp is over the internet, and that basically is free. But you will lose your SIM if you're on pay-as-you-go if you don't use it for 6 months in the eyes of usage, WhatsApp, etc. They will take that SIM away, and you'll lose your number. And then the other one for the credit on your phone, it's basically somebody walking in the house and taking money out of your wallet. And this is what it amounts to, that the money will disappear overnight. So anybody has a pay-as-you-go phone, just send a text to somebody or just use it once in a once a month, and that way it will retain your credit.
Yeah, good. Okay, all right, good tip. Thanks, Howard.
Okay, that's all it is, just for the your listeners.
Have a good weekend.
Take care. Bye now.
28 minutes before one on Manx Radio. Yes, it is. Howard hasn't had it, but I just wonder whether you have. It's a Pfizer or Moderna. The vaccines offered to all people in the booster program as well, whether you've had a note about this to register for the booster as well. Participating GP practices, I think Finch Hill are doing it, Peel Group Practice, Southern Group, Castletown Medical Centre and the Ballasalla Medical Practice, I think, are doing the COVID-19 booster program as well. But we are moving to, it's a brand new time now, we don't quite know where we're going, I'm sure that Dr. Ewart's got a plan for us all. But we're heading through now into autumn. Winter, of course, the winter solstice is, 21st of December it is. So that's when winter starts. But it's not too far away. 10 weeks today is Christmas Eve. And 11 weeks today means it's New Year's Eve. Oh, good. If you just got in or just tuned in, the brand new COMIN's been announced, the Council of Ministers. Obviously, Alfred Cannon is your new Chief Minister. New Treasury Minister, David Ashford. Justice and Home Affairs, Jane Poole-Wilson, MHK, who will also deputise for the Chief Minister, should he be unavailable. Tim Crookall, Infrastructure. Oh, Mr. Crookall. Oh, can you imagine? Tim Crookall, Minister for Infrastructure. I'm sure he's had a walk down the promenade. Laurie Hooper, Health and Social Care. Claire Barber, Environment, Food and Agriculture. Julie Edge, Education, Sport, Culture and Flumes. Dr. Allenson, Enterprise. Kate Lord-Brennan, Minister for the Cabinet Office. And I mentioned those two boards. It'll be interesting to see the makeup and the powers of the board as well. Daphne Kane, of course, his deputy speaker, will be chairing the Climate Change Transformation Board, and Chris Thomas, MHK, chairing a new Housing and Community Board. That we will look at very carefully because we're concentrating a lot on housing at the moment. And a note in from Texter 775, loads of stuff to get through here. Time to means test public sector house occupants. And once they hit a certain salary and net family income, they should be told to move on and buy a house. Many of the management where I work are earning over 50,000 and households netting £100,000 a year, but they still live in public sector houses. Time to give the houses to those that desperately need the help. It's often been quoted, that theory. It's often been quoted. What you're indulging in is social engineering. We've heard for many, many years the apocryphal tales of families, you know, where mother, father, couple of children, maybe three children, all work, and the household, £150,000 income, and yet it's a public sector house. I just wonder what you would do about that. Would you actually assess people's family income? You know, what happened if a couple of the children left the house? Maybe all three left the house. Maybe if somebody then lost their job and you then forced them to buy a house, what then? What do you think about that? Time to build some new houses, perhaps? Some new public sector houses? I'm afraid I don't think it was appropriate that they cancelled cancer operations, says Texter 475. Surely if only 12 were cancelled, there were many others scheduled who weren't as time-sensitive as cancer ones, and they could have been rescheduled instead. It will be interesting to hear Teresa Cope's explanation about how they chose who to cancel. My dad's cancer operation was cancelled, says that texter. John said, look, Andy, house prices increasing worldwide and much higher in many areas of the UK than in the Isle of Man. House prices are going to go up. That's all there is to it as well. Texters on 166177, email studio at maxradio.com, phone 661368. They sound a bit. Sounds like poor planning from Manx Care, says Brian. Who's the customer here? I thought they were supposed to be putting the patient first. Is it Manx Care or Manx Don't Care as well? Stuart. Oh, Stuart on the Fylde. He loves the Isle of Man. Whilst a lot of people don't use the horse trams, they like to see them. want to put collection boxes by each tram stop saying support the horse trams as well. Well, they do cost a lot of money. I mean, they are, you know, they are unique. Well, amongst unique, if you like, around the world. They are very historic as well. They've got lots of history to them. And over, you know, 100 years and more, people have used the horse trams on Douglas Promenade. Who'd be the person to get rid of them, though? Laurie Hooper, Health Minister, is by far the best appointment. He's shown time and time again in committee investigation, the executives at Manx Care, can't even answer a straight question, just like today. No way are operations cancelled at 24 hours notice. That's an excuse for something else. Everything's planned months in advance. The engineers have to be in for days to commission equipment. They don't just pop over. It doesn't just happen like that. I wonder what's really happening about that. Let's have a look here. Congratulations, Howard, relying on his God-given immune system as well. And also, says Dave, look, this has been the case with pay-as-you-go phones for years and years and years. That's the simple rule. Manx Radio. Diane's with us. Hello, Diane.
Hello, how are you today? Okay.
Well, terrific, thanks. It's a gorgeous day outside.
It is. It is for a change. It's a couple of little things. Do you know what's wrong with the radio player on, you know, for Manx Radio? Only it used to show all the programs that was coming on and being on, and you could go on demand and all that. Well, now all I've got, unless that's my radio computer, in the middle with what's on, it's got like a buffer around, just going round and round and round. It drives you mad.
Oh, well, if you're buffering, there's a problem with either your machine. I mean, everything's okay this end. Are you listening on computer or a tablet,
yeah,
or what?
On a computer, because my radio, the sound ain't very good. So you think it's my... Well, how come this picture's come up now?
So if it's buffering, then I think that I've got some very complicated advice here. It's just a minute. It just says, turn it off and turn it on again.
Oh, I'll try that, but it hasn't worked so far. You know, on the left-hand side, it's where they're showing, or they were, showing pictures of whoever's record was on.
Oh, yes, yes.
That don't seem to have happened. That seems to have gone back to normal. But the buffeting thing is just going round and round and round. And the other thing is only a quickie. You mentioned Elon Musk the other day.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a strange person he's not coming in the island, is he?
He's got a business that may be on the Isle of Man. It's this new business about putting rural broadband in via satellite.
Yeah. Biggest crook walking he is. It's the new age Dick Turpin, I would call him, but there.
Would you say that to his face, Diane?
Oh, yes. No trouble, because you know what? He's into the... The Tesla cars.
Yeah, that's him, Tesla.
Yeah, he claimed this and that wasn't him at all, it was somebody else, and he's done that twice. And now he's into so-called vaccines, which are not vaccines. And what he's wiring you up for, because I expect he hasn't told you, is transhumanism. That's where we're going next. Only I won't be going.
Transhumanism?
Yeah, oh yeah, didn't he tell you?
Is that in Somerset?
Somerset, no, he's got three places, I think, in the UK. That, see, you've got to be connected to the Internet of Things. You're going to be part of it. Only, I don't suppose he's told you that either. Do you know that?
Oh, wow. All right, thanks for calling, Diane. It's good to talk to you.
Yeah, bye.
Cheers now. Here's Phil with us on Man in Line. Hello, Phil.
Hi, it's not Phil, it's Bill, Andy. Bill.
Oh, hi, Bill.
He always gets my name wrong. It's all right. I just heard about Ballacameen a few hours ago, and my son goes there, and I'm absolutely fuming, really am. I mean, I can't understand what on earth they're playing at, and why they would force children to wear a mask for 7 hours a day in a school is beyond me.
Well, I mean, a nice try if they do.
Well, the teachers have all been vaccinated. I mean, my young fella got vaccinated on Saturday, so a lot of the 13 upwards year olds are vaccinated. The 17 year olds are vaccinated. So why are we taking all these vaccinations if we're still forcing people to wear a mask?
Have you had the letter from Balakameen, Bill?
No, they sent us an email, and I just got a text message a few minutes ago. But I emailed Mr. Ashford and Mr. Allenson straight away, but of course they've all changed now. But
yeah.
So I'll have to redo that. But I mean, I just don't agree that it should force the children to wear a mask all day, especially when everybody's been vaccinated. And the children have got fantastic immune systems, etc., etc., etc. All the kids I know that have had it, I swear, have just had a coldish type thing, and that is it. I suppose if you've got a vulnerable child, then you might have to consider keeping them off for a while until it, you know, cases go down or whatever. But what? And then again, close, like he's not done year seven. He's not really done year eight. He's in year nine now, and they're messing again.
What are you going to do when he's off?
Well, this is it. I mean, they've probably not organised any proper online schooling or anything like that. You have to sit and wait. Then he logs on. Then a teacher will log on. And they don't do it like a Zoom meeting where you've got a whole class on it. It's just a, like work set on different places where they have to go and download it, then upload it. Then the teacher has to have it. It's just madness. Absolute, utter madness. I've got no idea what they're doing to these kids. Year 10 as well, which are into their GCSEs as well. You know, okay. Has anybody thought about this?
All right.
You know, what are they doing?
All right. Well, best of luck anyway, Bill. I hope it all turns out.
I feel like I'm just absolutely fuming.
It's Friday anyway.
It's Friday, yeah. Thanks,
all right.
Andy.
All good to talk to you. This is the situation at Balakameen High School in Douglas, who've had very high levels of staff absence because of general respiratory illnesses, they say. So because of the general respiratory illnesses and the high levels of staff absence, they're in a position really where they really aren't in a position to put a teacher in each class. They've already explored options including collapsing classes, putting them together, calling in additional cover teachers, requesting teaching support from the DESC, the Education Advice and Support Division, and using own support staff, classroom assistants inside Balakameen, but they can't do it. There's a significant shortfall. So just for next week only, there's a contingency plan in place for Balakameen for certain year groups who could be working on set tasks from home and on certain days to manage the situation. So Monday and Tuesday, Year 10s will be working from home. Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, Year 9s. Work will be provided by teachers to those students required to stay at home.
If your business buys professional indemnity or directors and officers liability insurance, you'll be well aware that premiums are rising and cover is being reduced. Aon can talk you through the different exclusions to help you get the best deal. We're one of the largest international insurance specialists and we're here to help. Call 692 400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Calling all grown-ups. We need you to be a foster carer. Right now, there are young superheroes like me across the island who are looking for super carers. Anyone can wear a cape and run around stopping bad guys, but being someone who helps a young person grow, being someone who inspires, that's a real superhero. To find out more about the Mockingbird Family Model Pilot and the Family Placement Service, call 61000.
Can Do is more than just an attitude. Can Do is extraordinary support in extraordinary times. It's the knowledge and expertise to harness opportunities. Can Do is empowering you to get your plans back on track. Can Do is Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management. Visit candowealth.com to see how we can help you build your wealth with confidence. Canaccord Genuity Wealth International Limited is licensed for investment business by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Choose Milan Vets for your farm animal care Expert services include export examinations, routine and post-import blood sampling, along with ultrasound scanning and fertility work. Milan Vets also offer herd health plans for farm assurance. Farmers can also order in advance to receive discounted medications. Visit online at milanvets.co.uk or call today on 674 532. Milan Veterinary Practice, caring for all creatures, great and small.
This weekend on Manx Radio, our winning weekend wordplay continues with your chance to win £200 to spend at Haldane Fisher's Douglas store. To win, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay all day Saturday and Sunday. Then join us on Monday morning at 10 to 9 when we'll announce who the lucky winner is. So join us this weekend to be a winner with Haldane Fisher in Douglas and Randy and your nation's station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. Faster by 13 minutes before one on Man in Line. Just remember that information afternoon, it's next. Somebody asked me when it is. There's a notice of public consultation for that development at Braddon Road in Braddon. You know, the 350-odd houses they're aiming to build. Now, that information day is next Thursday, the 21st. It's on between 4 and 8. Go to Douglas Rugby Club, Port of Shee on the Peel Road. You'll see Douglas Rugby Club, 4 till 7. This public consultation for the proposed residential development on land off Braddon Road in Braddon. The site is zoned for housing in the area planned for the east. They'll have all everything there. You can see exactly what's going to happen. That's a lot of houses, isn't it? We got Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing? You okay?
Fine, yeah.
Living the dream. what it is, Andy, I sit and I hear the guys go on the radio, and not the guy who's just been on about the masks. He's making perfect sense. You know, people, when you see these people comment on the Facebook, when someone puts something on about the mask wearing, and they come on and say that's what we should be doing, and make it mandatory. And then you go on and put a comment on, and then they contradict you and say masks don't damage health. Well, what about all the respiratory, doctors, these, experts that have actually said wearing masks for prolonged periods of time is proven to damage a person's health and your lungs, okay? I was at the hospital for a consultation last week, and I was talking to a nurse up there, and she said their health is suffering. They have spots all around the face. They have sores in the mouth. And this is just on the parts of the body that you can see. Never mind what's going on in your lungs. Now, I've got two kids, and if the government think for 1 minute that I'd have my children wearing a mask all in school, then think again. I'll just remove them from school, and I'll self-teach them at home, and I'll go straight from the house to the job. There's no way on God's earth they can invade, human rights of make you wear a mask, Andy. This is getting ridiculous, and the government are running around like headless chickens saying, oh, my God, this isn't good enough. Well, I'd like to turn it back on the government and say, you were the fools, and I mean that, fools, that opened this island up. When we all got rid of the COVID after lockdown number 3, and it was nice and clean, there was no COVID any of the schools, what did the government go and do? Thanks, people of the island, for getting rid of it, but no thanks. Let's open us up and flood it full of COVID and rely on these jabs that do absolutely nothing.
It's a farce. And also, Steve, I don't want to be flippant, and it's not meant in a flippant manner. What about the kids who wear glasses? They steam the glasses up.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, God bless those children and people that have, they have major health issues. I'm all for protecting them. But what gets me really rattled? Imagine we were at government. You stand there and you say, right, our people are safe. Our people, we have an island free of COVID. So head of the government, Mr. Minister, when he was there, he should have said, right, I've got my people safe. All my children in the island were safe. How do we get the island opened up before we start rushing doing it in a safe manner? How do we do it to get people to come to the island, but we keep the infections away? Start looking at it in a different way. They didn't do that. They just opened it up, flooded us full of COVID. Everything's struggling now. You mark my words. Health service is already struggling, despite what they're coming on the radio and telling you the excuses are. The health service is struggling with the COVID side of things.
Well, there are six people. There are currently six people. I mean, it's going up and up and up. Six people in hospital with it.
I'm on the radio talking to you now, giving you, giving the proper view of the people on the ground.
Mm.
Does the government listen to this radio station? Because nothing ever happens. We come voice our opinions, Andy. Nothing ever comes and, you want to start looking at this in a whole different way and realise that people are only going to take so much over here, and then there's going to be an absolute explosion because people are getting sick of it, Andy.
Good to talk to you, Steve. Have a good weekend.
And you. Take care, Andy.
All right. Now, Roger's with us now. Hello, Roger.
Hi, good afternoon, Andy. Thanks. I've just about squeezed in. I just need, if you can help with a contact number. Andy, it's in relation to Booster, and it's a couple of topics been on your earlier on today.
Yeah.
I rang my surgery, Snaefell. They tell me it's nothing to do with them. All I'm after is an update. They advised me to ring Manx Care. I rang the community helpline. They said, oh, it's nothing to do with us. You need to ring 111.
Yeah.
And I've just rang that. And I think the two options it only gave me, apart from going online, was, I think, to book a test or a vaccine or to rebook. And what I'm after is just, it was about a month or so, or best part of a month ago, when Booster program, and I think I heard on the radio that letters would be sent out. I've heard nothing yet. I'm 70 plus, and at the beginning of the year when the vaccine started, I was lost in the system. It was rectified, and I did get my jab, and I'm just a bit frightened that that's going to maybe happen again, but I don't know who. I can't get a number to actually...
Have you contacted your GP?
Yes, I have, and they said it's Snaefell surgery. They've opted out or something similar, and it's... The booster program is nothing to do with them. I've had my flu jab there.
Right.
But they have could give no help with the booster program. So I've rang the community helpline. I think that ends in 682. And they said ring 111. But when I ring that, there's only two options. Is one, I think, is to book a test. And yeah. The other one is to rebook or change an existing booking.
Okay, well, why don't you just take one of those options and wait till you get to a human being and explain that to them? Because once you get to a human being, they surely will do something about it.
Yes, you're right. Unfortunately, the previous two human beings have passed me on, and I feel I'm being shuffled around a little bit here. I'm reluctant to ring 111 for a non-emergency or, you know, not to clog up their system.
Yeah, but if you've been advised to call 111, then just do it, if that's their advice. I'm trying to think, I mean, in Douglas, let's think, Finch Hill Practice Duick.
Yes, there's three or four, isn't there?
There's Peel Group, Southern Group, Castletown and Ballasalla, as well as Finch Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, maybe give Finch Hill a call.
Yeah.
But certainly I'd persist with 111 until you get to a human being.
Okay, Andy. Thanks very much for your help.
All right, good to talk to you. Okay. Thanks, Roger.
Thank you.
Candy's with us right now. Hello, Candy.
Hello, Andy. How are you?
Well, it's Friday lunchtime. It's a nice day. It's nearly the weekend.
It's a lovely day, and it's quite scary to think that the clock's going back shortly, isn't it? And we're about to hit winter, which is why I'm just phoning up, actually. An awful lot of the roads have all been resurfaced, but they've failed to put it. They've obviously, the budget hasn't run to paint. If they wanted my B&Q vouchers, which I've got, you know, £10 for £100, if they want to go out and buy some white paint, just to put the road markings on, because as it goes dark, it's going to start to get really quite...
Where is the no road paint on the roads?
Andy, do you not drive around the island? There are more roads without road paint than there are with road paint at the moment, I would say. Going through from St John's through to Peel, going round... As you know, I do an awful lot of work around the island because we do the marquees, and I just noticed as well, there's some lovely new road surfaces, but they're just not putting the road markings on. Even going up from up to Kirkmichael up to Ramsey, there's an awful lot that haven't got any road markings on.
Well, Kirkmichael, they're doing the pavement through Kirkmichael, aren't they?
They are doing the pavement through Kirkmichael, but I'm talking about the actual road.
The actual road.
The coast road, which they have done a lovely job. Don't get me wrong, they've done a fabulous surface, but they haven't actually finished the job off because they haven't had... The painters need to go out and just do the paint work.
Okay. Memo to painters, get your brush out.
It's reminiscent of when we used to go on a holiday to Greek islands, lovely, lovely holidays, and you used to be a bit concerned when you were driving as it went dark, because they didn't have street lights and the roads were very dark and you couldn't see a blooming thing.
Maybe they bought too much red paint for that zebra crossing in Kirkmichael. And that...
Oh, Andy, you said that, not me. But as I say, I have got a B&Q voucher getting £10 off if they want to spend £100 on white paint.
I'll tell the new Minister for the Infrastructure. How about that?
Absolutely.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for Candy. Good to see you. Well, drive carefully around the island, man. Thank you, Candy. Watch out for those tents. Well, the new Minister for Infrastructure, Tim Crookall's got that now. Find the people with the paint and paint the roads. I was actually getting to like the red zebra crossing in Kirkmichael. They then took it away. That's it for Man in Line. Thanks for being in touch this Friday lunchtime. Thanks to Barry Redfern producing. Man in Line returns Monday at high noon. Have a wonderful weekend. Remember, clocks go back 2 weeks on Sunday. No.
WIN.